Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You should know that one of the most common questions I ever get, if I, you know, just kind of in my own personal life is, B.A., how did you get this job? And the job, of course, is the host of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. But here's the one thing you should understand about the question. The emphasis is not on, B.A., how did you get this job? It's, B.A., how did you get this job? And the sort of unspoken context of that is, I'm not a former player, I'm not a former coach, I'm not an ink-stained scribe, I'm not the kind of person that maybe before we started doing this that you would expect to kind of see in this chair doing this show each and every day. But there is a very specific answer to that question, and it actually relates to Georgia football for a reason that I'll get into in just a moment. I was really lucky, and a lot of life comes down to luck, but it's also one of those things where when you have the opportunity, you better make sure you take advantage of it. When the guy who originally hired me here sat me down and said, what's my vision for this show? I was able to describe in great detail very much what actually became Dog Nation Daily as you know it, because I'd been thinking about this for like a year prior to the show beginning, really on my way to creating this show, and it kind of worked out. Well, why don't you just come do that show over here? Now, there's a reason why I tell you that story. I know this is going to sound corny, and you'll roll your eyes, and listen, it's probably not the first time you thought I was corny and rolled your eyes at me. I totally understand that. But here is something I really do believe. Believe this firmly, and I really try to live my life with this in mind, that what you think about, you will speak about. And what you speak about, you do have the power to bring about. Now, I know that sounds like something you'd see on a bumper sticker, and I totally understand that. But I really do live my life that way. And frankly, things have worked out pretty well so far. Now, I also thought about this yesterday when Georgia coach Kirby Smart met with the media, because Smart said a lot of very interesting things. But there was one thing that Smart said that was maybe kind of a window into his own thought process about how mindset really determines the fate of Georgia, not for just this upcoming season, but for, you know, a program over the course of many seasons, that the mental side of football to him apparently matters. He met with reporters, kind of an impromptu press conference. He was getting a lot of questions about, as you might expect, you know, position battles and who's going to do this and how does this guy look and all, you know, the kinds of things that you want to know the answers to and the kinds of things that people who do what I do for a living kind of want to ask. And Smart took a moment to say, listen, be careful, because let me tell you where my mind is right now. I think this is actually pretty interesting from Kirby. Take a listen to this.
I think everything for you guys is all about ability and between and what this guy's going to do, what that guy's going to do. And I realize you're doing that for the fan base. I'm here to talk about what's between the years matters way more than how fast they're running, what they're doing, or any of those things. Mm-hmm. And that mental side of things is the emphasis we have for this offseason, because it's so much more important, so much more important, the culture that's created, the programming in your organization to get the most out of your players.
So admittedly, when you first hear that, and I have to say that my first reaction to hearing this yesterday was, once again, there's a little bit of an eye roll, maybe the same way you may think I'm corny. You may think Smart there is kind of condescending, maybe the idea of, you know, you meatheads want to talk about football. I'm here to talk about brains. You know, there's a way to kind of hear that that kind of makes, oh, gosh, you know, can we just please talk about, you know, who's going to start at left tackle or whatever else? But I do truly believe that what Smart says there is important. As I said before, I do believe that the kinds of things that we talk about, the kinds of things that we think about, you know, have a way of kind of shaping our lives. And if you are a Georgia program and you want to win a national championship this upcoming season, the manner in which you approach the offseason, I think, lays the groundwork to do that. And really, I think there's nothing more important in terms of shaping your mindset than the kinds of words that you use. So I'm actually going to take Smart really seriously when he says, right now, we're worried about what's going on between the ears. And listen, I'm not as smart as he is, probably. I'm not as smart as most of you who are listening right now. But if I could make one suggestion related to how you shape what's between your ears, how you create the kind of mindset that you want to go out there and enjoy not just success between the white lines, but success in all things in life, that you got to choose your words carefully in terms of really creating the proper outlook that you want to have. And I want to give you a very specific example of this, and some of you may not agree with what I'm about to say, but I do believe this is important. So yesterday, in a later part of that same press conference with Kirby Smart, Kirby was asked about the offensive approach coming into this upcoming season, knowing that you've got consistency with your offensive coordinator. Todd Monken's back for a second year. You now have an entrenched starting quarterback in JT Daniels, something that you didn't have before. And in the midst of kind of talking about some of this, I thought Smart used some very interesting words. And admittedly, as someone who would like to see more offensive firepower from Georgia this upcoming season, I actually kind of wish that Smart would have used some different words. Let me let you hear the full clip here and see if you notice what I notice. This is Kirby Smart.
The pace with which we're doing walkthroughs and being able to do things offensively has been much better. If anything, you know, we're trying to adjust more on defense now to what they're doing, because they're a little bit ahead of us where we were a little bit ahead of them last year. So that's good. And NJT, obviously getting a spring to go through this. I mean, at this time, last year, I don't even have a clue what he was doing. You know, was he rehabbing from a knee? You know, he's come a long way in terms of the volume of information he's gotten, and the other quarterbacks as well. I mean, you got to figure Carson Beckett just got here at this point last year, and Brock's out there and Stetson's out there. So all those guys are learning.
So we have said many times now that I believe that the biggest breakthrough that Georgia needs to have on the field, if it wants to win a national championship in 2021, is it's got to join the elite club of very best programs and from year to year, very best teams in college football, and the explosive offense that they show. You know, Alabama last year, 48 points a game. LSU the year before that, 45 points a game. Ohio State, Clemson regularly, year after year, scoring more than 40 points per game. That's a threshold that Georgia hasn't crossed yet. I don't believe it will be a true national championship contender until it's playing offense at that same level. And to go back to what Smart said in the first clip that I played for you, what you do between the ears is kind of how you bring about all of that success on the field later on. And I would suggest here humbly that maybe Kirby Smart, with the words that he uses, could help lead the way towards the offensive transformation that Georgia's undergoing right now to join the very best in the sport. And there are a couple of words right there that Smart uses that I think would be better if he did not use. He calls the defense we, and he calls the offense them. You know, there's clearly seemingly a competitive idea in him, at least based on the words that he uses, about what his defense is doing against Todd Monken's offense. Or not just, you know, picking out Monken individually, but the offense that kind of is the nemesis for his defense. And that's the language that I think you've got to be really careful using if Georgia's going to break through offensively the way that we really need for it to, those of us who, you know, care about Georgia football and want to see it win a national championship. If you missed it the first time, let me isolate just a small part of this that I think accentuates the point that I was just making. This is Kirby again.
If anything, we're trying to adjust more on defense now to what they're doing, because they're a little bit ahead of us where we were a little bit ahead of them last year.
We're trying to adjust on defense because of what they are doing. We were ahead of them last year. They may be a little ahead of us this year. Can we please stop othering the Georgia offense here for a moment? I mean, can we not do that here? I mean, can we view this as all? You know, the other day I kind of joked on the show about me not using we when I talk about Georgia football. It's okay for Kirby Smart to use the word we because he's a part of the team. He's one of the coaches. He's one of the players on the team. It'd be kind of nice if he kind of used the we part of this when he also talks about the offense as well as his defense there. And listen, it's important not to make too big of a deal of all of this, and clearly I don't want to do that. But the point that I'm getting to here is that little things do matter. The sum total of all the little things in a program and the sum total of all of the ways that mindset can be influenced, I think lead the way towards the ultimate success that you either do enjoy in a season or the success that you kind of fall short of right there. And how you speak about your offense, whether you consider them part of your we or somebody else's they, the way that you speak about your offense, I think helps kind of create the attitude that exists for the team, because Georgia is not going to win a national championship unless this offense looks pretty similar to what the four teams that have won in the playoff era, LSU and Alabama and Clemson, Ohio State, what their offenses kind of look like. Georgia's probably, you know, kind of destined to fall short, which sort of brings us back to what we've talked about a lot over the last couple of days. You know, people say, B.A., what'd you think of Cole Kubelik saying he thinks Georgia's the best team in the country? They might be, but they won't be without an elite offense. Athlon Sports saying JT Daniels, the quarterback on the rise. We talked about that yesterday. He may be, but for George to get the most out of him, it's got to be the prime directive of the entire program. Everybody swimming, moving in the same direction. That there is no more important question around this team. There is no bigger issue on this team whatsoever as you head towards the start of a new year than – what will you do to make your offense as powerful as it can be? And I would say viewing them as a we instead of a they is a pretty good first step in that direction. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Great to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. What else did I leave out? All kinds of video platforms, podcast platforms, the Apple Player, the Google Player, worldfamousdognation.com, Spotify. A lot of you listen on TuneIn. Just really appreciate you being with us, and of course with our friends on the radio every single day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Just really appreciate you being a part of the program, and a big thanks to our friends at Harris Cherokee Casino Resort for making it all possible. You know, today it's going to be warm here in the state of Georgia, which gets you thinking about spring getaways just a bit. And I can tell you this, that if you're in the midst of needing a getaway, and you probably are, no better place to go than the beautiful mountains of Western North Carolina to Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Completely reimagined gaming floor that keeps social distancing in mind, but also unbelievable gourmet dining options, great tasting food from their, you know, great array of restaurants, luxury shopping, a world-class, very relaxing spa. It's all available for you there at the Harris Cherokee Casino Resort properties, whether you're talking about the original Harris Cherokee Casino Resort or the Harris Cherokee Valley River, both just 2-hour drive from Atlanta. And to take advantage of all the great incentives they have for you and the great offers, including as the sports book gets ready to open up, how about you become a Caesars Rewards member and find out about everything that's going on there? Go to Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. That website, once again, Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee, and you can get a lot more of all of that. All right, I want to, before we bring on Mike Griffith here in just a moment, want to take a trip around the doghouse here. And I know that Mike, who's, by the way, been knocking out of the park as of late, great series of guests that he's had for On the Beat here as of late, including this week when former Georgia cornerback Eric Stokes stopped by. And Stokes is a guy that I've always liked. Obviously, if you're a Georgia fan, you love the way that he played on the field. But Stokes is just also one of those guys that just seems to kind of, I don't know, we talk about mindset a lot off the top of the program. Stokes has got a mindset that is just, to me, there's no way the way that he approaches the game hasn't helped him succeed at the game, given the fact that he was only a 3-star recruit coming out of high school. And, you know, for someone like me, way back then, Georgia signed so many defensive backs, the 2017 class. I probably, if you want to go back and listen to the archives of a show like this, we probably didn't talk much about Eric Stokes when he signed with Georgia. And yet, we have certainly talked about him a ton on the field as a major player for UGA, and now he's getting ready to go in the NFL draft. And it's also maybe once again a mistake being made a second time around, this time by the NFL draft scouts and the people who cover that sport for a living. Maybe Stokes just not getting the attention that he deserves. Eric has noticed it, but instead of letting it be something that kind of festers with him and, you know, making him bitter or angry, it seems to be being used as fuel. This is beautiful from Eric Stokes. Please listen to this.
It's crazy that I still don't feel accomplished. Like, yeah, I got All-American and all that stuff, and I got some first teams and all that stuff. But I still don't feel accomplished at all. Like, I still don't feel like I'm there at all. Because, like, even throughout the process that I'm in right now, I'm still getting overlooked. I'm still getting, like, bat shadowed. I'm still behind everybody. So, like, they still, like, I still see. It's crazy that I don't try to pay attention to the stuff, but it's still, like, I still get tagged and I still get all this. I still see it no matter what. I'm still seeing people. I mean, not even ranked in the top 5 of their corners, or in, like, I know sometimes I'm not even in their top 10. So it just amazed me to where I'm just like, hey, man, I still got a lot to prove, because, like, y'all, because it really don't matter what I do, y'all still go doubt me. So I'm just used to it.
Did I see this correctly the other day? Did we go to Mars? Did we put a ship on Mars the other day? I've seen some pictures from there. Isn't it amazing that our society can put a spacecraft on Mars, yet we haven't, as a football society, figured out a way to truly measure whatever it is that Eric Stokes has in him? The perfect combination, I would suggest, of self-confidence but also humility. I mean, you really want those two conflicting ideas to kind of work in concert for a great football player. And at Georgia, Stokes has been one. The day that somebody figures out how to measure that, the day that somebody figures out how to, you know, watch a guy who's still hungry even after he sort of arrived on the scene the way that Stokes kind of has. He's going to be a high draft pick, whether he's a true first-round pick or not. He's going to have a great shot at an NFL career, and yet he's still just as, you know, chomping at the bit to go out and compete as he ever was. The day that a draft scout invents a way to measure that, that guy's going to go down in the history books. And by the way, you know, you're talking about, you know, science and stuff like that. If there was ever a way to kind of clone that and give that mentality to every football player, Georgia would be better for it, and really any other program would there as well. I mean, that is such a beautiful clip. The entire interview is worth you hearing from the Dog Nation video channels with Eric Stokes on Monday night. But that particular couple sentences right there, I don't think anything embodies the idea around Stokes more than that. People have been doubting my whole life. Instead of being bitter about it, I just went out there and competed, and I have won thus far, but I'm still just as hungry as ever to compete. That is beautiful stuff from Eric Stokes. Can't wait to see where he lands in the upcoming NFL draft. All right, before we are done, we have a little bit more on the transfer portal situation. Admittedly, as someone who's tried to listen closely to some of the cryptic things that Smart has said recently, I think he said something yesterday that may have put my attempt to speak Rick Gilbert into existence. That this may be put to bed forever before the show is done today. So we'll do that later on. But for now, on everything around Georgia, as a lot of Georgia coaches kind of get ready for the start of spring practice, let's get ready to talk to our buddy Mike Griffith right now.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. You know, Mike, I don't pretend to be objective, so therefore I can like things about Georgia players without having to feel too bad about that. And I was playing some audio a moment ago from the interview that you did with Eric Stokes on Monday. I root for these guys this time of year. It's really hard to have an NFL career. A lot of really good college players just kind of miss out on that because the league is so selective about who gets a chance to really perform on Sundays. Eric Stokes, man, is one of those guys it's very easy for me to root for in this situation. I love his mindset. I wish you could bottle it. I wish you could sell it. I wish you could give it to my children. This whole notion of I want to compete. I don't let people who disbelieve in me or doubt me make me bitter. It makes me hungrier to go out and win even more. It's a beautiful sentiment. I think that Stokes has lived it out by the way that he's played on the field. What did you think of the interview that you did with him?
Yeah, I'm with you, BA. I mean, I don't think you can do a bad interview with Eric Stokes. You know, this guy, you know, like you said, he's made of the right stuff. He's, you know, and he's a guy you do root for. You know, and I say this all the time. People always ask, you know, do reporters root for teams? Well, of course not. But you do root for people, and Eric Stokes is a guy that I don't mind telling you I'm rooting for. I love his story. I love his testimony. It's like you said, he's very humble. At the same time, though, you sense he's confident, and you see this guy as kind of a star on the rise, and I think it really dispels the notion that Georgia and Kirby Smart don't develop talent. I mean, B.A., this was the lowest-rated player in the Georgia 2017 signing class. Yeah. I looked it up. He was 589. He was eight spots behind, you know, the receiver that transferred to Toledo. So, I mean, what Eric has done, biding his time, taking that red shirt, sitting out a season, wasn't the starter at the beginning of the 2018 campaign, came in the Missouri game, shut down Drew Locke, blocked a punt, made a play on special teams. They gave the position back to Tyson Campbell. Eric went back to work, waited for his opportunity, and stepped up against Auburn. And became a starter. And then this year, he comes into this year with no interceptions, and he says, you know what, I need to fix that. So he starts working four nights a week during the pandemic, driving an hour to Atlanta and back to Covington, and lo and behold, he has four interceptions in nine games, including two pick sixes. So just imagine what could be ahead for Eric Stokes now that he gets to go all football all the time.
The other thing I'll say about Stokes, Mike, is, and listen, college football is very hard. There's a lot of stress that's associated with it. Not every day is going to be happy for every single player. I totally get that. But for someone like myself who loved college football growing up but had no chance of playing it whatsoever, that was never a likely outcome in my life, the one thing that you do enjoy see is for those who are lucky enough to be in that exclusive fraternity, the fact they seem to be enjoying it. I'm always happy when guys seem to be having a good time doing something that so few people get a chance to do because you get the impression they understand understand how lucky they really are. Like, that's the other thing about Stokes is when I've had a chance to speak to him a few times, and you've obviously done that more than I have, but when I've been around him, he pretty clearly seems to know that, hey, it's really good to be a starting cornerback for a school like Georgia in the SEC and have a chance to even play beyond that. I would say that he seems to, the best that I can tell, of course, behind closed doors, things can be different, but the best that I can tell, he seems to be enjoying this as much as someone who's as fortunate as he is should be.
Yeah, and a great barometer for that is the way he's a fan of his teammates. And Connor knows this from being over there. We kind of a running joke. If you're doing a story on anybody else on the team, you want to talk to Eric Stokes because he's got something good to say about everybody. And he truly is a fan of his teammates, and that makes him a wonderful locker room presence. You know, he realizes, yes, he has value, but he celebrates his teammates. And he did in the video I did with him. He talked about JT Daniels. He talked about, DJ Daniel. You know, he talked about Arian Smith, you know. For a player to admit somebody else is faster, that's never happened with Georgia. All these guys go, well, you know, this guy's fast, but I'm betting on me. And I asked Eric, he still says he bet on himself in a race, but he says he's taking Arian Smith, ain't no maybe about it. Is the fastest guy. He knows. And we're not just talking track speed. Eric's had to cover this guy or try to cover this guy. And he knows what happens when Arian gets behind him. So, you know, that's part of the fun with Eric Stokes, too, BA, because you're right. A lot of these athletes you talk to, it's all about themselves. You know, I'm just here because I have to be. Marshawn Lynch, you know, brutish behavior. But you're never going to get that from Eric Stokes. This is a guy that embraces his role. He likes being a role model. I think he's going to do great things for his community. He's got that, the anti-bullying that he went through himself, that testimony. He's not afraid to tell that story. Wants to help other young kids. So this is clearly a guy that I think we're all rooting for.
People should check out the interview from Monday night on the Dog Nation video channels for that. Also on the Dog Nation video channels, very busy day yesterday. Great to hear from Georgia coach Kirby Smart, wide receivers coach Cortez Hankton, offensive line coach Matt Luke, running backs coach Dale McGee. Pretty substantial preview of the start of spring practice. Mike, there's a lot I think we can talk about here. Let me just go open-ended to begin with, though. What did you make of kind of the sum total of everything that you heard yesterday?
Well, first of all, the fact that it was that impromptu. Like, you wake up one day and it's Georgia Media Day. You're like, wait a minute, I didn't think this was started for 2 weeks. Well, Kirby Smart decided that it was time to talk about his football team, and he did. He talked at length. He talked 25 minutes, and as you said, Dell talked and Matt Luke talked and Cortez Hankton. I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was a treat for Georgia fans. I think we're all ready for spring football. Certainly we're going to talk about it, but now the coach has given us some direction, as you said. And, you know, what he said about winning the championship, look, yes, that's the goal. But talking about it's not going to do it. It's doing the things that are required. I like what Kirby's doing with the skull sessions. I think he recognizes he won't come out and say this, and I won't put words in his mouth. But I think Georgia needs leadership. I really do. I think there's a vacuum there with Richard LeCount moving on, such a popular guy. Obviously, the Jed Crom leadership, he was a three-year starter. That role never really got filled. But I think you've got to have some leadership come out this spring. Doing those interviews the last couple of weeks with Shane Beamer and Mel Tucker, they talked about the leadership. They talked about the mindset. And I think Kirby Smart knows he's got to have that mindset and that leadership. This team has to decide that last year's not good enough, right? It's not all about your draft stock, right? It's about trying to change the narrative and finish the season, which is something that Georgia football hasn't done since 1980. And it's going to take some strong leaders to step forward and ensure that everyone is on board with putting the brand first. And that's what I picked up on out of the skull sessions, the leadership talks, the team DNA. Kirby really getting on that early this offseason.
If you ask the average fan what are his or her biggest concerns for the upcoming season, I think you'd get a lot of, hey, what's going to happen at defensive back? What's going to happen along the offensive line? And I think after listening to certainly Kirby Smart speak yesterday, I think those concerns were somewhat validated. Obviously, Smart was short on specifics related to some of this kind of stuff, but did not shy away from addressing that there is an open-ended, unanswered question for cornerback, defensive back right now, and that's going to be a part of their process here this spring and the rest of the offseason. Some of the offensive line stuff, too, obviously with Luke speaking, you know, it's pretty clear that there are some unknowns right there. Smart's not going to give the store away, nor will Luke in a discussion like this, but if you went into the start of spring, which is still a few days away for Georgia, at least in terms of starting the practice. But if you went into this thinking, what's going to happen at defensive back? What's going to happen with the offensive line? I think the words you heard from Georgia coaches yesterday certainly reaffirm that as questions worth asking.
No doubt. You know, the good news about the offensive line is that there's quality depth, and you can take a few hits, and there's some answers there. The problem in the defensive backfield is that you've lost bodies. You've had 9 players either transfer or move on since the end of the 2019 season. That's a lot. And as Kirby said, just to go too deep, you've got to have 6 guys on the field each time when you go dime. So you got to have at least 12 DBs just to go at a 2-deep drill in your dime package. So it's as much about having bodies. Now, the frontline players, I'm really high on Jalen Kimber and Keely Ringo. I think both of those guys, but you got to have more. We've seen that, right? You got to have a 3rd and a 4th and a 5th and a 6th DB ready to step up, because when push comes to shove, you get in the college football playoff, you're going to be playing these teams that go 4 and 5 receiver. You better be deep at receiver and have some guys around at the end of the year. So I don't think there's any question that the portal will play a role. As Dabo Swinney even said in his press conference, you know, Clemson doesn't like to, and to this point, they haven't brought in transfers to win jobs. But if there's a need, you have to, because as Dabo said, you can't sign high school players in May. You kind of got what you got out of this class, and I think that's kind of where Georgia's at as well. So I think after the spring, you're going to see, I do believe, just because of the bodies, you're going to see a couple DBs come in. Now, do they come junior college? Are they graduate transfers? Are they transfers appealing for immediate eligibility? You know, that all remains to be seen, but there's no question that Georgia has to beef up the inventory in the secondary, and I believe they've got a few open scholarships to do that.
You asked Kirby yesterday about JT Daniels, the kind of, you know, year-over-year growth when you have an entrenched starter quarterback, and obviously year 2 now for Todd Monken. And, you know, once again, Smart's going to be careful how he speaks about this, but there's no doubt that this makes things better for Georgia. I mean, I've said this a million times, that as someone who kind of, you know, narrates a UGA fan conversation each every day, you know, the lack of mystery, you know, who's the offensive coordinator going to be? That was a lot of last winter. Who's the starting quarterback going to be? That was a lot of the discussion last winter. It's at least a big step forward this year that mystery has been gone, at least on the front end of that conversation. There's still mystery about what the end results are going to be, and that's, you know, the next phase of all of this. But I can say, as a fan and as someone who speaks, you know, to and with fans every single day, the fact that there's more certainty to begin this spring, and the fact that we're even certain, at least for now, that the spring practice is going to occur, boy, that's a big step forward from where we were 365 days ago.
Man, you ain't kidding. I mean, last year we had no idea what was going to happen. And even Georgia thought they knew what was going to happen. And then when spring drills didn't happen, they had to alter their plans. They weren't able to coach it up. You know, you watched a team that was trying to grow as the season progressed and actually did pretty a remarkable job when you consider that they didn't have spring and that they played at a front-loaded schedule, right? I mean, they were trailing at halftime against Tennessee, right? But yet somehow they were beating Alabama. You know, so that was a team that was growing as the year went on. And then you had a quarterback change, and I think it took another step when JT became the quarterback. I think that might have opened some other elements of the passing game up. And so you're seeing this team now, they're evolving even more. I mean, JT's going over the playbook with these guys. I mean, they're learning behind the scenes. You know, this JT Daniels is taking that leadership role, and the receivers are responding, and they get it, right? Everybody understands. You know, there's got to be a – and let me tell you, the competition, I mean, there's only one football. And I did a projected numbers story, and I don't know, people may agree or disagree. Do you think George Pickens will get 100 catches, or who's the number 2? You know, is it going to be Blaylock or Burton? Where's Kiaris Jackson fit in? You know, there's all sorts of questions, but there's so many options. Darnell Washington, you know, hearing good things about the freshman tight end that's come in, you know, and then you've got 5 or 6 running backs, and 2 or 3 of them are pretty good catching the ball. So you better be sharp. You better be on your game. Because Georgia's got some room there on the cutting floor. And if you don't know your assignments and you ain't showing up for all those workouts, they'll move on without you. And that competition, BA, is going to make a difference. This Georgia offense will probably set the single-season record for offense at Georgia, I predict.
That's very interesting. You mentioned transfer portal before. I'm going to talk more about this before we're done. I mean, do you think, when you look at what's going to happen with that transfer portal situation, you know, you mentioned the guy from Clemson who's kind of now in that portal situation. I mean, do you think that's the kind of guy that you could see Georgia potentially targeting?
You know, from a talent standpoint, yes. But as we learned with the West Virginia cornerback that transferred, and all of us, including myself, was like, oh, well, this is just natural, right? His former DB coach is here, and he played for him, and so he must be coming to Georgia. Well, not necessarily. You know, and that's something that only Kirby Smart can gauge. You know, he's got to sit across from that guy and get the right read, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to bring the wrong guy in the clubhouse. You know, all it takes is one or two bad characters to upset a team chemistry. When you got synergy, when everybody's on the same page and the players are all bought in, that's when teams do great things. But, you know, we could come up with examples of programs that have had players go sideways and it just wrecks their season. And Georgia, you know, this is a tough place to make it. You know, we saw a Notre Dame D-line transfer come in here a few. We all thought he'd do great. He didn't make it, right? We all thought D-Rob coming in, oh, just plug and play. Uh-uh. This is a tough place, and there's a lot of competition here, and there's a lot of hungry dogs over there that have fought and scraped for every rep that they get. And when you bring somebody in from outside, they better be made of the right stuff, right? They better be a team guy. I think Eli Wolf was a good example of that. I think Lawrence Cager was a good example of that. Guys that came in that were willing to play their role and grow within the structure of the team. Now, if that Clemson DB guy fits that mold, and I don't know enough about him to say, you know, then, hey, sure, Kirby's going to look at him. But he's going to take care of the team first and find a guy with the right DNA, as he says, before he lets somebody in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this to finish off the conversation. Darian Kendrick, of course, the guy we're talking about, former Clemson defensive back, now officially in the transfer portal. We'll do more on this before the show is done. But, you know, my attitude about transfer players to Georgia, who for the most part I do welcome, is kind of the same as my attitude towards elite recruits, Mike. I expect about half of them to work out. You know, you mentioned Jay Hayes from Notre Dame. Hayes had some flashes in a Notre Dame uniform. I thought that was a risk worth taking for Georgia because, frankly, you're not out very much if he doesn't work out. As it turns out, he didn't, but on paper, it seemed like he probably could have. Lawrence Cager, in many people's eyes, was better than you would assume he would be. And that's kind of my attitude on this. About half the five stars you bring in will have great success. About half of the very high four stars you bring in may have, you know, very good success. And, frankly, about half the transfer first you bring in may have really good success, but the important thing is to get enough of them so you got enough guys that truly do pop.
Right. No, you got it, BA, and that's where they're hurting in the secondary. That's why you cannot afford to miss. If you've only got three scholarships to give left, and by Connor's counting, Connor's done a great job keeping up with that for us on Dog Nation, by the way. I believe there's three. You really can't afford to miss because they really do need two or three bodies back there, to your point. You know, again, I like what I've heard about Nyland Green, and again, I'm very confident Jalen Kimber and QB Ringo. These are very talented players, but we've seen how attrition works in the SEC. We know there's going to be injury. We don't know where, and sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes you don't. And, B.A., I remember this, and I meant to bring this up earlier, and I think you do too. A couple years ago, Kirby Smart said, this was before the 2019 season, there's a couple of spots where if we get injuries, we really can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And one of them was at wide receiver. And, man, did that throw off the whole season. And, you know, Jake Fromm could only do so much. When guys weren't running the right routes, different cast of characters out there every week, very hard to get in a rhythm when your receiving core changes from week to week to week to week. That's what happened. It was inexperience to begin with. And then there were injuries on top of it. Well, that's what you kind of got to cross your fingers about this season in the secondary. You're kind of thin back there. You know, hey, look at Alabama. Would Alabama won a national title if they lost three or four DBs to injury the first half of last season? I'm not so sure. Now, they were able to take a hit at receiver because they were deep, right? The best guy got hurt. That's what's amazing about Devontae Smith winning the Heisman. He wasn't even the best guy. Jalen Waddle was, but they had depth there. I saw Tennessee win a national title. Jamal Lewis gets hurt. They plug in another guy, still win a title. You got to have the injuries at the right spots. Let me tell you, this Georgia secondary, BA, they got to stay healthy.
Mike, great to talk to you. Appreciate you being here. Look forward to reading a bunch from you, DogNation.com there as well. Always fun to have you here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, BA. Have a good one.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Let me just briefly piggyback off what Mike was saying there to conclude our conversation. I was on the radio this morning with my friends there, 960 The Ref, and we were talking about the issue for Georgia at defensive back, and I compared it to the wide receiver situation in 2019. Now, we would have had people tell us back then, oh, listen, Georgia does not have enough experienced wide receivers to get through the season without a pretty significant hiccup. And I think that I probably disregarded a lot of that back then, saying, yeah, but the overall talent level may mitigate against that. And that's when George Pickens was a freshman, and you had probably better receiver recruiting than you'd had, you know, certainly prior to that, even predating Kirby Smart. As it turns out, this may have been, you know, the experts getting one right for change, in that it was pretty clear that George's lack of experience at wide receiver kind of hurt them. On the defensive side of the ball, the same kind of analytic-minded people that will tell you that experience matters at wide receiver, they'll tell you it matters at defensive secondary. By comparison, once again, the math guys will tell you that experience at offensive line may not be as important as you think it is. And by the way, you know, Georgia's kind of a living testament of that. First-year starter Andrew Thomas, 2017, very good year. First-year starter Isaiah Wilson, 2018, very good year. Jamari Salyer, first-year full-season starter in 2021, very good year. That you can actually seemingly mitigate against inexperience in the offensive line, even though it would seem the opposite of that. You can actually handle some inexperience along the offensive line as long as you got five good guys. But the math people will tell you that, nah, listen, secondary has been proven to be a place where experience matters. Georgia doesn't have it. Even if it goes transfer portal, bring guys in, more on that in a moment, you're still not going to have a ton of experience there in the defensive secondary. That is probably going to be an issue that Georgia deals with this season. But if I was doing, you know, Clemson Nation Daily, Bama Nation Daily, everybody's got something. When we watch and look at Georgia very closely every single day, not only do we probably overrate Georgia's strengths, we probably overemphasize Georgia's weaknesses. It's just when you fixate on one topic, you have a tendency to kind of blow everything up. So it is probably true. There's only so much Georgia can do to keep the secondary from, you know, not being the position group that probably lags behind some of the others just given the overall lack of experience. But it does not have to be a death knell for the program if you are strong enough in the other places, and that's going to be one of the big topics here this season. Quick shout to my friends over at Palo Window and Door of Georgia. Love what the work they do for energy-efficient windows and doors, which matters. Curb appeal, energy efficiency, that's all a really big deal. Also, great savings right now from our friends at Pella. Please make sure you take advantage of this great deal. Between now and April 1st, so you get a little bit more time to take advantage of here, you get 10% off an entire project or no payments, no interest for 12 months. That's a great, great deal. And it's also a very important announcement here to make you aware that Pella's going to come through a little bit of a website and phone number change that we want you to make sure that you know how to reach out and get in touch. This is really important, so make sure you hear this. The website to go to, PellaofGA.com/DogNation. That should be pretty easy. PellaofGA.com/DogNation, or the number here. You can see it on your screen if you're watching video. 678-638-1496. One more time. 678-638-1496. That'll get you in touch with Pella Window and Door of Georgia. All right, here for our SEC through, we have something very juicy to get into. This is actually a follow-up on a story we did a few weeks ago. Matt Hayes, veteran college football reporter, you may remember him for a long time working for the Sporting News, kind of now doing various work for a number of outlets. One of those being Saturday on South, he writes a column called First and Ten. Not too long ago, after the end of the 2020 season, apparently sources close to Florida are really giving him some damning opinions and information regarding Florida coach Dan Mullen. Well, apparently there's more to this because Matt Hayes, active again in the pages of Saturday Down South here this week. Here's the headline from the story, according to Matt Hayes, who's been around the block a few times. Hayes writes, Dan Mullen's job security at Florida is simple. Win or walk. In other words, if Florida doesn't win big in the 2021 season, according to Matt Hayes, who's been plugged into college football for a long time, it will be hard for Florida coach Dan Mullen to keep his job. Boy, isn't that local narrative far different than the national storyline seems to be around Mullen. Let me give you a few things related to all of this. The big deal here is that Mullen is now within 3 years of the expiration of his contract, and he desperately wanted a new contract. Obviously, that helps with recruiting, but Mullen just wanted the money that came with the extended contract, and he didn't get it. And I'm sure he's not hurting for money, but I'm sure maybe his pride, ego was bruised by that a little bit. But Florida apparently didn't want to do it. Now, what Hayes doesn't write, but we should add it as an addendum to this discussion, is that Florida is a notoriously cheap program. You know, when it comes to like facilities, things like that, Florida has never wanted to lead the way related to stuff like that. So they're kind of, you know, frugal nature could possibly be, you know, a factor in not wanting to give more money to Mullen right now on the heels of a global pandemic. But what people are apparently telling Hayes, though, is this is what this is really about, is the way in which Florida, and this is all from Hayes, Saturday Down South, when I post the show at dognation.com later on, I'll put a link to all of this, that Florida felt embarrassed by the post-game comments after instigating the fight against Missouri when he dressed like Darth Vader, when Mullen kind of downplayed the bowl loss to Oklahoma, saying the 2020 season ended after the SEC championship game, even the thing about, you know, filling the stadium after having lost to Texas A&M. A lot of Florida folks were embarrassed by that. Plus, the recruiting violation that's now led Florida to deal with a show cause penalty, that's also kind of an issue there as well. Hayes points out something that Mullen said during his pre-spring press conference, that even though there were NFL overtures, and by the way, we predicted this at the time, that all of that was just a smokescreen, Mullen did let it be known that he didn't interview with any NFL team, didn't talk to any NFL team this offseason. So that seems to have been kind of a fake news thing, I would suggest, possibly generated by the Mullen camp. All the way around, though, what you need to know is that according to what Matt Hayes writes here at Saturday Down South, and this is the second time he's gone heavy on this, is that if Georgia can beat Florida this upcoming season, and obviously with Florida also playing what I think is going to be a little bit of a revived LSU and certainly Alabama, that Dan Mullen may find himself on unfirm footing at the end of the season, as Matt Hayes says there. Win or walk. Hayes opening the door to the possibility that Dan Mullen could lose his job at Florida. And apparently a little bit of a worn-out welcome with Mullen and his bosses there in Gainesville. This is truly fascinating and something worth paying attention to there. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by our friends at Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, honesty compels me to admit. So when we talked about Rick Gilbert on Monday, the fuel that kind of generates the rumor mill that now that Gilbert's not going to Florida, maybe he's coming to Georgia, the fuel that generates all of that was fairly nonspecific, right? There's never really been a lot of credible reporting saying Gilbert's coming to Georgia, you just wait and see. There's not been a ton of that. We were very open and honest about this, that the biggest deal about Gilbert is the fact that he's not going to Florida. It makes Florida worse and therefore easier for Georgia to beat. That was the big key takeaway. But as someone who would love to see Gilbert at UGA, you can go back and listen to some of the things that Smart has said before. Cryptic comments about never having enough tight ends, wanting to use dynamic playmakers. The idea that he said on the Atlanta radio station 680 The Fan at the beginning of February that a guy's not really signed at a school when he transfers until he enrolls in classes, something that a Rick Gilbert hadn't done yet. Was that a little bit of a sign that Georgia was still recruiting a Rick Gilbert? There was a lot of that kind of cryptic commentary of, ooh, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's still, you know, some possibility that all this takes place. Well, I think yesterday, it's fair for me to point out that when Smart was asked directly about the transfer portal, he said some things that if you're going to like lean one way and say some of Smart's previous comments give you hope that maybe eventually you could get involved in the Rick Gilbert situation, whatever academic issues are notwithstanding, it's important to note that yesterday's comment was certainly a pretty strong move in the other direction. This is Smart on transfer portal, and I'll tell you after it's done why I think that may be the end for Rick Gilbert, but still a possibility with other big-name transfers. Here's Kirby.
I mean, the transfer portal hasn't changed for us. It's not the primary source of finding football players. I mean, we want to recruit, develop, and work to get the best football players we possibly can in here. I don't think the guys that come out of the portal have issues or problems. That's just not our normal protocol. It's not what we want to build our program based around. It's a need-based deal, and we have needs. Defensive back is a spot that we're thin at. We think we have very capable, good young players at the position. We don't have a lot of experience. So if you get an opportunity to gain experience, which, you know, we did the first year we were here. We got Mo Smith, and all of a sudden you got a player that makes your team better almost immediately. So we would not decline the ability to look at an option there.
So fair and balanced. I think it's important to point out that the lack of enthusiasm about talking about the portal there is maybe a move away from someone like a Rick Gilbert coming to Georgia. But as I mentioned with Mike a moment ago, Darian Kendrick did officially go in the transfer portal. At least that's what's been reported. The Rivals account, NCAA transfer portal, says that he's now officially entered the portal. He's obviously a guy that's had success at Clemson, as we've kind of pointed out. So maybe that situation is there. You know, as I've told you before, you know, the fact that he's had reasons to make him want to leave Clemson certainly would not scare me away from him if he has a chance to come to Georgia. So the bottom line on all of this is, if you're thinking about high profile transfers that maybe Georgia could be involved with, maybe more likely Kendrick at this point than someone like a Rick Gilbert. But honestly, I wish a Rick well wherever he ends up. So with all of that said, how much juicier does the upcoming cocktail party get now that a respected voice like Matt Hayes says it's a win or walk season for Dan Mullen? I know my choice on that. I'd like to see him walk. I'd like to see Georgia put him on a walk and send him out the door. I think that'd be a lot of fun all the way around there. So with that in mind, let's do our Gator Hater roll call here and give out a golden shoe winner for today. Really good example of this. I'll show you this, something that came in on Twitter. How about Scuba Steve here giving us a very good drawing, which is essentially, for those of you not watching on video, kind of a breakup cartoon. On the other end of the phone, it's Rick Gilbert saying, "It's not you, it's me." Mullen, upon hearing this news, kind of collapses to the floor. Gator Hater golden shoe, Scuba Steve says there. Really good job, Steve. That's an excellent, excellent golden shoe honoree right there. How about our Gator Hater countdown? 241 days. Georgia says walk to Dan Mullen. We'll see you tomorrow at Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.